You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Please listen to this important message. Healthy Control is an all-natural bladder control formula with ingredients proven to relieve urgency, reduce frequency of urination, reduce embarrassing bladder leakage, and the number of nighttime trips to the bathroom. Now we're giving away a free 30-day supply to callers from this area. Call 800-918-4177 now for details. With Healthy Control, you'll feel more confident and comfortable, and finally get a full night's sleep again. Take charge of when and how often you go to the bathroom. Call now for details on how to receive your free 30-day supply of Healthy Control at 800-918-4177. Hurry, this free offer will not last long. Call 800-918-4177 to find out how to get your free 30-day supply of Healthy Control. That's 800-918-4177. Again, 800-918-4177.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The weather this afternoon is going to be sunny with a high near 87. West winds around 10 miles per hour. Tonight will be mostly clear with a low around 66 and light southwest winds. Tuesday, Showers and thunderstorms likely afternoon. Some storms could be severe with damaging winds. It'll be partly sunny, I don't know when, either before or after the storm, with a high near 90. Southwest winds, 7 to 15 miles per hour. The chance of precipitation is 60%, and the new rainfall amounts between a quarter and a half an inch is possible. Tuesday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms before 2 a.m. Partly cloudy with a low around 63. West winds 5 to 9 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation is 30%. And the new rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Wednesday, it'll be sunny with a high near 83. North winds 5 to 7 miles an hour. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 60. Welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we are very privileged today to have two young ladies with us. And it's awesome to be in here alone in a room with two good-looking women. Why are you laughing? It's true. This portion of the show, Mental Health Matters, is courtesy of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, and it is NAMI's hour, and NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. We just try to help people who have a mental health issue, either in their family or themselves. And everything we do is free, classes, support groups, etc. We don't charge for anything. And we feel that if we can help someone, all the effort and everything is worthwhile. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. There's no paid staff. There's no office. We use our own phones, work out of our houses. And it makes it all worthwhile if we can help someone. So today, we're very privileged to have with us Caitlin Kelly and her mom, Marion Colazzo, is it? No, I didn't say it right. How is
Kelly.
It? Kelly.
Kelly.
Okay. Then why did you have that on your email? You don't have to answer. They're both here to speak about what it's like for a young lady growing up with bipolar disorder and being a parent, trying to help this child and running into all sorts of brick walls. First, I want to thank you for coming here today, because I know from experience that it's not always easy to speak about these topics, especially on the radio. So I do thank you very much for...
Well, we thank you for asking us. We have a story to tell, and if anybody wants to hear it, then we're happy to tell it, because it really was growing up bipolar is a real journey, and it's not always an easy one.
No.
So if we can talk about it and give anybody... any helpful information that they can use, we're happy to do that.
And it's a pleasure to be here, because it's a pleasure to share. Like my mom said, if this helps one person out there, if one person right. can be reached, then it's all worth it.
That's how I look at
it
things.
It is incredibly painful.
If you can
painful.
Help one person.
Yes, and it is incredibly painful to share some of this stuff. But like I said, if it touches at least one person out there, then it's all worth it.
Well, let me just real quickly tell you, you both know that my son, we have four children, my youngest son has schizophrenia, and he attempted suicide twice when he came home from his first semester of college at Christmas. And from then on, he was hospitalized for a little over 2.5 years. When he got out, he was in and out of the hospital more times than we care to remember, 4 months here, 2 months there, 3 months here, And the first 6 years of his illness, my way of dealing with it was not dealing with it. My wife would want to talk about it. I'd go in the other room and read a book, or I'd get in the car and go down to the truck stop and get coffee. That was my way of dealing with it. I would have done anything to help him. I'd have robbed banks. I'd have whatever. I wouldn't care. If it would have helped them, I would have done it. I just couldn't bring myself to talk about it. People would say, hey, Larry, how's the family? Oh, Paula's doing this, Scott's doing that, Sherry's doing that. Everything's fine. Remember I said I have four kids, And that was the way I did it. My wife drugged me after about 6 years, too. And I mean literally almost drugged me. To intensive family support. And the lady that was there at the time is long since retired. But she taught me how to get around it and deal with it. And so I know what you're saying, you know, I know it's not easy to talk about because I couldn't talk about it, and I didn't even have the illness. My son did, you know. Well, I didn't have his illness. I have my wife says I have other illnesses, but, you know. So I understand that way, you know, from a parent's point of view. Caitlin, I have to ask you, what was it like growing up with bipolar?
It was, oh my gosh, extremely difficult, frustrating, emotionally heart-wrenching. It became apparent when I was 5, and that's how bad things were getting. I was having nightmares and waking up crying every day. I ran to my room in tears because my friend said I drew a pretty witch. It was so...
And the witch was supposed to be ugly. Not
yes, yeah, exactly.
Right, right.
So it was like everything was devastating. Everything was the end of the world. I mean, the average child would have been like, oh, thank you, or something like that. Or, hey, no, this witch is supposed to be ugly.
Right.
What are you talking about? But I just ran to my room in tears and broke down. I mean, I am such a sensitive soul to begin with. And then you add bipolar to that, and it's just 100 times magnified.
You recognized at age 5 that you...
I was in therapy at age 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you realize that you had a mental health issue at age 5?
I was too young for that. Right. I didn't know what mental health was.
Right. I didn't think so, that's why, but I thought, you know.
I knew that I had an extreme problem with shyness. I used to say I was sty because I couldn't pronounce shy. When I was in preschool, my best friend Amanda had to drag me into circle. Otherwise, I wouldn't go to circle. And okay. My mom was telling me that... they didn't tell her. She's a preschool teacher herself. And she's saying that the preschool teachers didn't tell her about this problem until the end of the year. What was that like for you, Mom?
Well, I am a preschool teacher, and I'm a preschool disabilities teacher. So I know child development pretty well. And so when Katie was 5, I knew there was something atypical about her development, but I couldn't put my finger on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when we started. We took her to a psychologist. And he helped her feel more comfortable around other people. Part of the bipolar illness is social anxiety.
Right.
And that may have been happening as early as 5.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly children as early as 5 can be depressed, which looking back now, we could clearly see that she was.
Right.
So, you know, that began our journey. And as a mom, my response to her diagnosis, well, she hadn't been diagnosed until sixth mm-hmm. grade, but my response to her having difficulties in life was to say, I will make it better. Whatever she had problems with, you know, I could make it better.
Sure.
So
you're a mom. You can do these
things,
right?
That's right. And not only was I a mother, but I was, you know, versed in early childhood education. And
right.
I was resourceful, and I was going to make it happen.
Sure.
So
unfortunately, sometimes we can't always do what we think we can do.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, and that was very difficult. It was an uphill battle.
Tough to accept, you know.
Extremely. Right. I didn't accept it for a very long time.
Right. Well, that's just like me for 6 years, not talking about my son's illness, you know.
Yeah.
Not that, like, I didn't visit him in the hospital when he was hospitalized. I did at least 2-3 times a week. And, you know, but, you know, it just was my way of dealing with it was, like I said, not dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'd go off on a rant. You know, oh, they can put people on the moon. They can, you know, walk in space. They can drop a bomb on the head of a pin 5,000 miles away. They can't stop my son from answering voices in his head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it would drive me bananas, really.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, it's just. Did you realize what you both were dealing with at the time?
Yes. Well, she can. Once she was 5, we identified that there was a problem, and she had difficulties through elementary school. She had problems with peer relationships, and then it carried into middle school.
And I suffered extreme bullying because I was so socially anxious. I couldn't speak, let alone defend myself. somebody would say hello to me in the hall, and I wouldn't even say hello back. That's how bad my social anxiety was. Whether you consider it shyness or social anxiety, but
or a combination of both.
Yeah,
you know,
I didn't have the strength. I couldn't muster the strength. I was drowning in depression, and I couldn't muster the strength to defend myself against these horrible, horrible bullies that were writing me that they wanted me to leave the school. I mean, it was just so traumatic, and I went into high school not saying a word except to my friends. I was so quiet.
But you did talk to your friends by high school?
I did talk to my friends in high school, okay. But I wouldn't talk to anybody else. I was so shy.
So when we realized that she was having real challenges socially and just, you know, being in a school environment, she started seeing different therapists and different psychiatrists, and they helped her understand herself, and they gave her some coping skills. And of course, then there was the medication that followed.
Right.
And that brought on a whole other set of difficulties because medication reacts differently with everybody.
Absolutely. How did you cope during all this progression from middle school to high school? And
I felt like I was right beside her in the challenges because every time she had an experience, which for her it was traumatic. For example, once she went to a meeting for a youth group, and as a mom I thought that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, she's going to be part of a youth group. And she came home and I found her crying in the back of a shed. The experience was horrible. You know, the children were saying things that she perceived as very negative. And so as her mom, you know, I was expecting something very positive from it. And all of a sudden I had to adjust to this child in tears who was feeling extremely traumatized. So as a mom, you know, I just kind of faced those challenges right beside her. And went to the same doctor visits, went to New York to explore different alternative treatments like supplements and food sensitivities.
Right.
So, you know, I was right there next to her.
I'm a firm believer in doing what works. You know, I had not too often long ago a Asian lady on from L.A. on the phone, on the radio. And she suffers from severe depression and bipolar. And she says she doesn't take medication. I said, okay, what do you do? She says, well, I exercise a lot every day, you know, and I'm into holistic. And I says, okay. I says, does it work? She says, well, it's been working. I says, fine, keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do what works.
That's right.
She says, you're not going to tell me not to, you know, to take my, I says, no, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to tell you anything. Right. I'm telling you, if it works, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever works for you, do.
Right.
If down the road it stops working 100% like it is now, then maybe you have to consider taking a medication along with it.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, if it's working, hey, knock yourself out. Keep it up. You know, just don't stop.
Yeah.
You know.
Exercise was a big one that they recommended to Katie, right, Kate?
Yeah, I had a lot of trouble exercising. I would go to the playground and all I would want to do is keep to myself. If I wasn't playing with my best friend, Amanda, who was really a catalyst for me because she would draw me into the social atmosphere of things and the playful side of things. But I would be perfectly satisfied sitting with my grandmother and chatting like two little old ladies, you know, or sitting down and telling a story. I wasn't the type to run around like the other kids my age.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, like say junior high school, it was, well, you were on the track team in high school. And prior to that, you were seeing someone who was saying that just running would raise your endorphins and make you feel better.
Right.
And make you feel grounded.
They still say that, actually, if you can run. You know, it's good. Me, I can't run, you know, not anymore.
Senior year, though, my depression took control of the running, and I would run, but psychologically, my brain would be telling me, you can't do this anymore. Yeah, you used to be varsity, but, you know, you're not capable of running this 3.1K race. You're not capable. Like, look at you. You're fooling yourself. You can't make it.
So that's just a really good example of how a lot of times your thinking would be negative.
Yeah,
and that's
but
part of the whole bipolar thing.
It's surprising because you think that I would be flooded by endorphins and serotonin by running. You would think this would be exercise would be enough, and today it is. Today it's one of my top coping skills. I go to the gym, I walk about half a mile to the gym and then half a mile back, if not three-fourths of the way. Mm-hmm. But it was just, it was amazing how it even trumped exercise. That's how strong and powerful its grip was over me.
Right. I have to ask, were you ever hospitalized?
Yes, many times.
Many times, you're saying?
Yes.
What's many times?
Many times, let's see. There was the first time, junior year of high school, this. Why are you telling me to stop?
No, she said five. She's not
five.
Telling you to stop. She's going five.
She's holding her hand out in front of me like,
five.
Stop.
You know, like five.
She's telling me I was hospitalized five times.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, like I said, my son was hospitalized for a long period of time, over 2.5 years initially, and then in and out. Like, we lost track of how many times. You know, I mean, it was Helen Fold for 6 months. It was back to Hagedorn for 2 months and then out. And then back up to Hagedorn for another 3 months and then out. And, you know, back and forth. And so I just, you know, I was just curious, you know, if you were hospitalized.
Yes. Well, and there was one attempt, one overdose and one attempt that led me to two hospitalizations. And then what led me to another tertiary is that I was in an IOP program,
mm-hmm.
and I came out and I just laid on the roots of a tree on the ground and I looked up and I just said, I can't do this anymore. I can't live.
And that was after a psychotic break.
Right.
So
no, that was,
yeah,
was it after? Okay, that was after a psychotic break. So
now when you say IOP, you're talking about intensive outpatient?
Yeah.
Right, okay. I hate acronyms.
Yeah. Yes,
nobody
well,
knows what you're talking about.
There's probably listeners out there wondering, IOP.
Yeah,
what
well, that's why I wanted
about?
To. That's why I wanted to elaborate
language.
On it a
Thank
little
you
bit.
Thank
you
for
know.
That.
Yeah.
All right, Marion. While Caitlin was being hospitalized these five times, what were you going through?
Well, again, I was right there. So when she was hospitalized, I was there every day, and it just felt like a storm.
She would travel, may I add. She would travel many miles to come see me every day,
yeah.
And that meant the world to me.
The furthest one was 300 miles away, so I would just go on
wow.
the weekends at that time. But that hospital that was 300 miles away was our last, in my mind then, it was our last resort. Because I could find peace of mind there. It
mm-hmm.
was in the Berkshires, Massachusetts.
Okay.
And it was just a really good hospital that had no locks on the doors. But it was also a very expensive hospital.
Yeah.
It was $40,000 for 6 weeks. Of course I remember the figures. You know, I felt enormous guilt that we had to sell our house for me to go there.
I don't even remember you knowing that.
Yeah, and so I felt
obviously she
guilt.
Does.
Yeah,
somewhere she.
Well, yeah,
up.
It made a mark. But it was one of the most successful treatments, and it was in a big mansion. And
well, anyways,
you were allowed to walk the streets. I mean, there was
right.
all this freedom. You could go out and buy a razor if you wanted to.
Yeah, I know somebody
you.
That went up there. You know,
okay.
in Berkshire, you know,
right.
Mass. That's why I happened. I'm not totally familiar with it, but I've heard of it. And
well,
I
the
know
reason
that, you
know. I just felt that was the only answer back then was that she had been in three different hospitals prior to that, and the summer was over, and I'm a school teacher, so I had to go back to work, and I would go to work, and she would just sit on the sofa, and she was just not in the right frame of mind, and this is hard to say, but you want the best for your daughter. And I just, you know, being that she was through so much, I just felt like she had been through more than any child should go through. And I wanted peace of mind. So I put her in, or had her administered it. Admitted into a hospital that gave me peace of mind.
And it should have given her peace of mind, because I'm not sure if it still is, but at the time, it was the number one hospital in the country.
Yeah. I don't know if it still is or not, but I mean, you know, but even if it's in the top 10, it's still worth it, you know. I have to ask, Marion, when going through this, and like you said, you're a teacher, and you had to go back to work. I know in my case, it was easy because I didn't deal with it for 6 years, so I just went to work, and it, you know. How was it in your case? I find it amazing that you could go and teach school and deal with, you said you deal with students who are...
Have disabilities.
Has disabilities, okay. Mm-hmm. So that could be physical, mental, emotional,
right.
Whatever.
Every year it changes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and how do you... I find it amazing that you focused on that while your daughter is going through hell.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know, actually. I you know, Katie and I both look at each other sometimes and we say what doesn't kill you just makes you stronger.
Yeah.
You you know, sometimes you're in a state of shock, you don't know what's happening, but you have no choice but to go through it and you always come out on the other side. So that's just, you know, something that I had to do, and
you know, it's funny because
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was gonna say she even took a leave of absence from work to really keep an eye on me and take care of me.
Right.
And work can be a big distraction. Thank you for reminding me, Katie. Working and taking care of this crisis was really almost impossible.
Oh, yeah.
So I did take a leave of absence that year that we're talking about.
Right.
And I needed to do that because of the medications that they were trying with her and the side effects that she was having. Somebody had to really keep a close eye on it because your heart is affected.
Sure.
Many things are.
Liver, you know, in some cases. And, you know, you know, my son has been epileptic since he's five. And after many years, the only medication that worked for his psychosis and his voices and so on and so forth and responding to him is one, and the major side effect is seizures. So if you're epileptic,
right.
You know, but the problem is that his epilepsy was, you know, ground level, and his psychosis was, you know, above Mount Everest. So We said, go ahead and, you know, give it a shot. Well, he's still on it, you know. And it's just, sometimes you have to deal with it, you know. But I can understand, you know, people during support groups, families will come in and, you know, parents and moms will come in and say, my daughter stopped her medication. And, you know,
that's understandable considering so many side effects.
But you're talking to them. And you find out the daughter's like 17, and she put on 65 pounds. Now, I mean, think about it. You know, would you want to put 65 pounds on if, you know, taking a medication?
Right. Yeah,
I mean, I saw one of the medications that my son was on that he no longer is on, but his face got like a balloon, you know. And, you know, my son is maybe 5'6", you know. His brothers tease him because my oldest son is like 6'3½", and I stand behind him. You don't see me. You know, I'm serious. And his next one down is a little over 6'1". And, you know, my daughter's like 5'8 or 5'9". And, you know, Mark is like, you know, 5'6", maybe 5'7".
Yeah.
You know, and he was like a balloon.
Mm-hmm.
And we got him off of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was others that tap your hand and then you shake your foot and, you know, all this, you know, nervous reactions that you can't control because they're the medication.
Right.
You know?
There's so many.
I actually have just come down from, let me just preface by saying I was a 00 in Abercrombie 00 in college, and anywhere from a 00 to size 1 juniors. Well, after experiencing 2 horrible medications, one that worked for me, but they took me off because I was at risk of obesity and diabetes, and one that kept my weight stagnant, I was a size 12 in women's. And being so overweight after a lifetime of being the skinny one mm-hmm. was absolutely unbearable and added immeasurably to my illness.
I can imagine.
On one hand, you know, those medications are extremely necessary, you know, to help her stay in the middle of the road and not experience the highs and the lows of bipolar. But on the second hand, they have to, you have to take the side effects seriously. Most of the, what you strive for is that the medications is helping you and the side effects are minimum.
And as time progresses, so does medication. Now I'm on a medication called Latuda, which has been around for a long time, but is still relatively new, new to prescribe anyway. And I am back to, I'm not 105, but I am 117 pounds at 5'5".
Well, you still look great, so.
Thank you.
But, you know, it's true because everybody's reaction to mental health issues is different.
Yeah.
Everybody's body is different. And I don't mean in shape. I'm talking about how it digests and processes medication and so on and so forth. And every medication has a side effect. I don't care what it is. Aspirin has a side effect. It may not affect me like it does you mm-hmm. or vice versa, but it has a side effect. And what happens with the doctors, and I'm not knocking, I'm not going pro or con, but what they do is when someone comes to them with a mental health issue, they take the medication that has proven best over the long period of time and they start with that.
Right.
If that doesn't work, then they take another one and they intermingle it with the original one.
Mm-hmm.
And because they don't know how it's going to work.
Yes.
As much as they like to think they know, they don't. And if you get the right doctor, they'll admit it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a guessing game.
Yeah, definitely.
And if they strike on one that works,
mm-hmm.
that's great. You know, if they don't, then they keep trying.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you have somebody in your family who's taking medication, they'll ask you that because often a medication that somebody in your family has had success with, you will have success with.
Right.
And that's what happened in Caitlin's case.
Exactly. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we're here with Caitlin and her mom, Marion, and we will be back in just a few moments.
Jewish Family Service of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties is in need of car donations to help fund their programs and services. For over 30 years, JFS, a nonprofit, non-sectarian social service agency, has been providing counseling and other supports to those living and working in the Tri-County area. Skilled JFS staff and volunteers help families and individuals, young or old, rich or poor, meet the emotional and practical challenges faced by those struggling with life's difficulties. Whether coping with relationship issues, feelings of depression or anxiety, illness, loss, work-related problems, or other crises, JFS is here to help provide emotional support and counseling and other tangible assistance to those in need. Funds received from car donations go directly to cover the cost of providing counseling to children and families, social work home visits to isolated seniors, and career counseling to those recently unemployed. It's easy to donate. Just call 877-JFS-4CAR or 877-537-4227 and speak with a vehicle donation representative. For more information about JFS, please visit their website at www.jewishfamilysvc.org.
Hi, I help students gain admission to colleges that are a great academic, social, and financial fit, where they will be successful, happy, and graduate on time with minimal debt. Email Diana at creativecollegeconsulting.com for a free consultation.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County. Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We are here today with Caitlin and Marion Kelly, mom and daughter, and we're discussing some of the tribulations and trials and anxieties that have taken place over the course of Caitlin's life from approximately age 5 on. Caitlin suffers from bipolar, and I know that there was an article just recently. I don't read People magazine, but we had just gone away on vacation, and we met friends of ours up in Canada, and that's where we went, and for the Canadian Rockies. And she says to me, "You want this People magazine?" I said, "Yeah, okay. You know, I'll look at it at the hotel room or something." You know, so I'm thumbing through it, and I see there's an article in there about Demi Lovato. Now, I'm a country western fan. Demi Lovato doesn't mean much to me. So I called my daughter and I says, "You know Demi Lovato?" She says, "Oh yeah, she's a pretty good singer. She used to be in Disney movie or something as a kid or whatever." She has bipolar, and she's come out and said she has bipolar, and she thought it was quite normal to be awake for 5 days and nights, mm-hmm. writing songs, and she write 5-6 songs a night.
And that sounds very familiar.
And she, you know, she thought that was normal. And till she crashed and found out that it's not that normal. And now she's getting help and she's on medication and she's, you know, back to being, you know, a leading somewhat normal life for someone that in her status, you know, as a star. But she also is starting a organization to help people with mental health issues.
Great.
And, you know, free of charge and all that. And so I thought that was pretty awesome, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that the more people like her and others come out, the stigma that's attached to mental illness, you know, can get chipped away little by little.
Yeah, I think it's happening slowly.
Yeah, well, it is slowly, but it's happening, and that's better than a not happening, you know. I did want to ask you, Marion, about that book that you spoke to me about, The Burden of Sympathy.
Yes.
And how it relates to you personally.
Well, I really enjoyed that book because that book acknowledges how difficult it is to have empathy for the one that you love and to see them going through the difficult times and not really being able to do as much as you would want to do to take away their pain.
Right.
And for me, that was, and still is, you know, the most difficult part about seeing somebody you love go through the ups and downs and the suffering sometimes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, as a parent, especially as a mom, I teach the family to family class, which is the 12-week course.
I took that course.
Right, I know. And what I usually do is when I'm teaching it, we'll come to a point in the class where it'll be, you know, pretty much what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And I'll say, well, moms. Mm-hmm. Moms I associate with bears, mama bears. When a mama bear has cubs, what does she do? She holds the cubs in close. And the older the cub gets, the more she holds them closer in. And it's true. What does fathers do? It's broke, I'll fix it. Oh, the window's busted, I can replace that, you know, blah, blah, blah. And what happens is it gets very frustrating for fathers because they can't fix mental illness. Right. Okay? There is no fix. It's not like a busted door or a flat tire, you know? And moms, they always, you know, hug the child or the cub, you know, which is nothing wrong with that, but it's from two different perspectives, mm-hmm. you know, father and mother, you know.
I was very lucky because I didn't have that personal experience. My father is extremely empathetic, and although he didn't take the specific measures that my mom did, which was more of a what resources can we take approach, he was always there for me, and he also mm-hmm. took the family course.
Well, that, you know, like I'm saying, it's not every parent, it's
right,
not every
of
father,
course not.
But the percentage is very high of fathers who want to fix it and get very, very frustrated and angry and upset when they can't fix it.
Yeah, I think that runs the gamut, too. I think women also feel that.
Oh, yeah.
Like you
oh,
said,
absolutely.
It's not just one gender.
No.
I can
no.
relate to that for sure.
Sure. I mean, yeah. you know, it's your child.
Right.
You know, and when the child is born, you have visions, maybe not everybody, but most people have visions. Oh, you know, they'll be whatever, lawyer, yeah. doctor, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when something like this strikes and their life goes completely in a 180-degree turn, it's not going to be the same,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And you have to come to terms.
And you
with
have
that.
To come to terms and accept it. I don't know, when we were talking at Community Day, I don't remember if my memory's not that great. I remember talking to you.
Okay, good.
But I don't know if I told you that the way that I accepted and did my turnaround with my son's illness was I had a funeral in my head.
Right.
And I buried my son. I had a son, and I buried him.
Mm.
And I saw him visually in my mind in the casket.
The son that you knew.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have another son, and that son has schizophrenia. That son may never get married, may never have children, probably will never finish college. That's almost a given. But who cares? You know, he's living his life to his fullest, and his mantra, if you want to call it that, or motto, is he's living his life to the fullest in spite of his illness. What else can you ask for? You know, I mean, Priscilla and I have tried to make him as independent as possible with who to call if he has, you know, problem with his medication, or who to call the medical doctor.
And he's living on his own, isn't he?
He lives in his own apartment in Flemington, yes. And, you know, he's very good. He volunteers one day a week at the hospital on Mondays. And he works about 3 days a week at BJ's. The last 2 months he's got a job there. So if you ever go to BJ's and some young man some young man offers you a cookie to try, or you know, you have his, if you haven't gone to BJ's, but they have these people that go offer the stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Because I asked him what he was selling yesterday. He says, "Oh, Klondike bars." He says, "We sold a lot." I said, "Yeah, well, humidity was 90%." You know, so, but yeah, it's, you know, it's very rewarding to see him, how far he's come.
Yes.
And, you know, and I'm sure it's the same with yourself.
Yes,
you know.
It is.
Yeah, everybody has bad days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they don't. You know, my son does too.
Yeah.
You know, but we all have bad days.
Yeah.
You have a bad day. I have a bad day. You
yeah.
know, it's
sure.
not like it's just people with mental illness that have bad days. You know, we all have bad days, you know, and we
it's
get through
just
them.
It's the severity that makes it the difference. I mean, my bad days were, I actually wrote a poem in one of the verses where down, down, down the rabbit hole she goes, but she goes deeper than anybody knows. We definitely all have our bad days,
mm-hmm.
definitely. And it would be wrong of me to say that mine were worse than, you know, another person who didn't have an illness. That would be incredibly wrong of me to say. But every day for me was a bad day. my depression was that severe that mm-hmm. and it the Accutane didn't help. The Accutane was for the Lamictal. I mean, the lithium.
Right.
The lithium gave me horrendous acne, and the Accutane was to solve that. But as you know, I believe it was a senator's son committed suicide
right.
on it. My cousin tried it, and he turned into a different person. They immediately took him off it. I stayed on it and for a year, and it just did a number on my depression. I should have never been on it. But it did a great job of clearing up my skin. Anyway, that's the pro. I entered college. Another person, really.
Okay.
I was so... Everybody was crying at graduation, including me. But my tears were tears of joy.
Right.
Your high school graduation?
My social anxiety had finally ended because I was going to college. I met the love of my life that really brought me out of my shell. And the Accutane had cleared up my skin. I had a great figure. I entered college with so much confidence. And people were really attracted to that. And that was the first time I truly knew popularity. And
That's
what
great.
It felt like to be social. And I've been an extrovert ever since.
I got to ask you, did you finish college?
No, I had a psychotic break.
Okay.
And that psychotic, I associate, and I know it's so silly, but I can't help but feel, even though it's wrong in my head, but I feel with my heart that psychotic break is just associated with college because it was a study abroad. I was supposed to do Greece, Italy, France, and Germany,
mm-hmm.
but I had this psychotic break in Greece, freaked everybody out. Nobody knew what to do.
Right.
They sent me back to the States where I was obviously hospitalized. I had a foreign accent. I mean, I was so up there. I thought I was, I looked at my mother, my father, and I told them, I am not your daughter. I am the Hindu goddess Kali. And I am inhabiting your daughter's body. And my father walked out of the room. My mom was just like, what were you like, Mom?
Like, is this really happening to us?
Yeah.
We will get through this, won't we? And then just taking it a step at a time.
And I should say that my dad walked out of the room, but he did come back and he did try. And that... In retrospect, you know, now that I'm not psychotic, means a lot.
And you got through that, you know, talking to different therapists, and you came out of that learning new coping strategies.
Yeah, but anyway, to answer your question, I associated the psychotic break with education because it was a study abroad and because
mm-hmm.
it was when I was in college. And I have this subconscious fear of going back to school. And if I go back to school, nothing's going to happen but good. I'm going to get my degree. I'm going to be more eligible for more job opportunities.
Just real quickly, couldn't
sure.
you go back on the internet?
I'm sorry?
Couldn't you go back and take courses on the internet?
Yeah, of course.
And you wouldn't have to go to school? You
right.
could do it on when you want and at home?
Yeah. That's an excellent example.
It's just, you know, a thought that I throw out there. Because I know someone close to me who's doing that or considering doing that because they don't want to go to college either.
Yeah, it's a nice option.
You know, but yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. You know, but Marion, I'm positive, and I speak from experience, that you had many days and weeks of total frustration.
Yes.
Not getting answers to your questions. You know. What helped you get through these, or who helped you get through this?
Well, what helped me, honestly, was taking that family course helped me a lot. It was a 3-week course. At the time, I had taken a leave of absence, so I had the time to do it. And it made me feel more in control, and it made me feel supported because there were people like me who had similar stories.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, in conversation, coming up with different ways of handling it, different resources in the community.
Right.
And then, of course, NAMI gave us a book at that family education
right.
course with all the numbers. In case anything happened, we would have a go-to list
right.
of numbers.
Right.
And also in how I behaved with my daughter, you know, they offered different ways of interacting that would be better received. In other words, there were times that I would say something to Kate just to make her aware of it from a loving point, but she would take it as something
right,
that was
exactly.
negative. And so NAMI in those family education courses helped me to interact more effectively with Katie so that she wouldn't be defensive and we would have a better relationship. So that was something key that I took away
right.
from that course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, and sometimes you forget how speaking to someone, Katie, clean up your room. Or, gee, Katie, you think maybe when you get a chance, you have some time, you could clean up your room? You know.
Yeah.
It's just people react differently, mm-hmm. you know, when they're giving a, you know, order, they like step back and like, who are you to tell me to do? Yeah, well, who are you ordering me around? You know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Especially if they're an adult, as in your case, you know. But if you rephrase the question a lot of times, it helps because you're not offending the person.
And, of course, yeah. I thought I knew all that. But when
yeah,
you're
well,
really close
yeah.
to it.
Yeah, well, you know.
You don't. And it's good to have those reminders.
Well,
and
yes,
people in the
absolutely.
Same experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What did you do in this during this time to maintain your health?
Well, I had counseling on my own. And I did exercise as well. And I ate right because I knew it was important because,
mm-hmm.
you know, work was very demanding and being at home could be demanding, although sometimes there were no problems. And Caitlin, you know, I always actually considered her my hero because she has been through what she's been through and she's able to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think we both have become more resilient
yeah.
because of our struggles.
That's really funny that you should say that because I've always viewed you as my hero.
Mm-hmm. You should come on your radio
said,
more often.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? I've always said for this and for many other factors that were going on in our lives that, you know, went beyond my mental illness, I've always said that you're the most resilient woman I know.
Well, thank you, Caitlin.
You're welcome.
Worth all that hard work.
Yeah, there you go. See that? Yeah. Obviously, there's been some positive results from the nightmares.
Yes.
That you've gone through that we call mental illness, the nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
You want to share some of them?
Some of the positive experiences?
Yes.
Sure.
Help me, she's going.
She's motioning me to help her out. There is such a tremendous transformation from when I started out in preschool. I'm 29 now. I'm living on my own. And I have the greatest support systems in place that I could ask for. And it took me a while to find them, but after exactly 2 decades of being on medication, I finally feel like I'm on the right medication for me.
Okay.
And that might sound discouraging to people out there that it took me 2 decades, but as I've said before, there, you know, medication is advancing, and then you countered, of course, with they'll try the tried and true method. But
well, yeah,
it's
they
all
will
about
try
being,
first because they don't
yes,
they don't know how your body's going to react.
But it's all about being proactive with your psychiatrist.
Sure,
I encourage
absolutely.
Listeners, study medications, you know, get a good idea of what you're in for. Be proactive with your psychiatrist. Don't just let them prescribe you any pill.
Right.
Because
right.
you don't know what the side effects are going to be.
And you can ask, why are you prescribing this pill? Why do you think it's going to
exactly.
work? You know.
And are there any alternative options with different side effects? Because each medication comes with its own side effect. I consider Latuda a miracle, but I have to eat 310 calories with it every single time I take it.
Right.
And that can be a real pain.
Right.
But to be more positive, finding Latuda was a godsend. Going from a size 12 to a size 4 feels incredible. And I'm sure part of that is the gym, but
well, yeah, I'm sure it is, but that's not all, you know, it's not the only part is the gym. You know,
oh, of course. You know. Yeah, on a good week, I'll go four times a week. On a not so great week, I'll go maybe once if I'm lucky. But it's really the Latuda that's causing me to lose weight. And it worked right away. I lost weight. Mom, when would you say I started to really, how long would you say it took for the Latuda to really make a difference? I've been told so
maybe
many
six
times
months.
How great I look. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking the same. Mm-hmm. I was thinking the same, 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it takes that long to, you know, to actually take effect and start, you know.
So those out there who are feeling overweight and even worse, obese, you know, to those who are thinking of going off medication altogether because of what it's done to them and their bodies and how hard it is to live like that, I now can sympathize and know how hard it is to be like that after being a size one for as long as I can remember.
Right.
But, you know, research. Ask your psychiatrist about Latuda. It doesn't have to be like that.
And don't be afraid to ask your questions of your doctor. Don't be afraid to question what he's saying.
Right.
You know, that's what they're there for.
Exactly.
You know, ask them the questions. And in some cases, if you're having to pay for the medication, ask them if there is a generic that works.
Definitely.
That
ask
is cheaper.
If there's a generic.
Sure.
Or if you're on low income because you're on disability because of your mental illness, find that support system that will help you to not even have to pay for your medication at all because they're out there.
They are.
There's so many support services out there. And you know, my caseworkers have been instrumental in connecting me to them, and it all goes with this theme of hope that I hope to end with.
Right. I would believe that the journey has made you strong, both of you.
You asked me if there were any positive experiences, and here I am, you know, with Katie sitting right next to me, and I'm thinking the positive experience is just seeing how well Katie's done and endured and can now handle things that come her way.
Right.
It's
very
encouraging.
Well, I tell you, I can't thank you two enough. We are out of time, but I can't thank you enough for being here.
Well, thank you.
I will tell you, you're coming back.
thank you for inviting us.
It's been a pleasure. It's been my pleasure. Because, you know, like I said in the beginning, it's not everybody that feels comfortable enough to come in a situation like this and talk about, you know, the problems that they've had over the years. And, you know, I give you a lot of credit for doing it, Caitlin. I really do. You know, Mom talking about it is one thing, all right? Me talking about my son is something totally different, like her talking about you. But you talking about it, that's the strong point. And that's the point that I really am amazed at. Because not many people in a situation similar to yours would be on the radio talking about it.
It's difficult and it's painful. Yeah,
absolutely.
But like I said, I just want to help after going through all of this.
Of course. And, you know, like you said, and like my goal is, help one person.
Exactly.
That's all it takes. You help one person, everything is worthwhile.
One mind at a time, like
Nellie
says.
That's right. Absolutely. You've been listening to Mental Health Matters, folks. And believe me, mental health matters. And it really does. We'll be here next week. Same time, same station. So tune in.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness.
Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also